We're doing Shmonah Pakim. We're in the middle of the fourth chapter. We had begun the fourth chapter, and the Rambam had explained that people have a tendency to think that one of the extremes of two traits is good, and they don't realize that really the middle ground is what's good. People think that a person who risks his life on stupidity, is he's always willing to risk his life, that's a brave person. That's not a brave person, says the Rambam. That extreme is not, that's not considered brave. What's brave is a person who's got the middle ground, somewhere between always risking his life and never risking his life. The person who has the balance, he's going to have the good trait. And the Rambam gave us many examples of that. Now we're holding in Rav Kapach's edition of the Rambam, page Resh Nun Gimel, Resh Nun Beis, the second column, the beginning of the paragraph. V'dain, you should know, she'elu ha'malot v'amigrot. Oh, where on that? Just a second. V'dain, you should know, she'elu ha'malot v'amigrot, that these positive attributes and these lackings, hamidotiyot, in a person's traits, inam niknim mitchaskim b'nefesh, they cannot be acquired and strengthened in one soul, ela b'ma she'adam chozer alotan p'ulot haba'ot, a person has to perform the actions that stem from these traits many times for a long period of time. Meaning both. A person has to perform many times and also over time. And notice the Rambam has said, this is the point the Rambam made in the beginning, that the actions stem from the trait. We have to acquire the trait and then our actions will follow suit. Says the Rambam, how do we acquire the trait? Perform, do the actions time and again as though you have the trait. Recognize what is the way that a modest person would behave and behave that way, and then we will acquire the trait of modesty. Recognize how a brave person will behave, act like a brave person many times over a period of time, and then eventually a person becomes a brave person. But a person has to become accustomed to these traits.
Is Hashem considered also to be modest?
Yeah, Hashem is modest, yeah. All these things we have to understand doesn't mean Hashem is modest, but yes, Hashem is modest, however we could apply these traits to Hashem, yes. הרי אם היו אותן המעשים טובים, הרי נקנית לנו מעלה, ואם היו רעים, הרי נקנית לנו מגרד. When a person gets accustomed to performing certain actions, if he constantly does actions that are good actions, he will acquire the good traits. And if he performs negative actions, then he will acquire the lacking traits. And because a person initially does not have nor positive qualities, nor negative qualities, as we will expand on in the 8th chapter, and a person gets accustomed from the time he's very young to certain actions based upon his family, based upon the people of his city. Sometimes those actions are middle ground. Sometimes they are on one of the extremes. A person by the time he's 13 years old could be very ill. Now sometimes people grow up in a terrible neighborhood. Sometimes people grow up with terrible friends, and whether they like it or not, sometimes people grow up with terrible parents, and before they know what's doing, they've already acquired terrible negative habits and negative traits. So then a person is considered that his nefesh is ill from the starting point. And he has to treat himself as though he were treating his physical body when it were ill. Just as the body, if it's off balance, ra'inu le'ezet tzad nata, we see which side it's off on, ve'yatza, ve'naseh nigdo hefcho, we have to do the opposite. If a person has a cold, so we say, dress warmer. You have to go to the opposite extreme a little bit to balance it out. Ad she'chzor li'zuno, until you get back to balance. V'cha'asher yu'zan, nistalek m'oto hefech. Once a person is balanced, so then we stop going the other extreme, we have to maintain a balance. We go to the opposite extreme in order to get equilibrium. If a person is off on one extreme, a person, once he's better, so then he has to continue and be matmid, to do in a persistent fashion what will maintain his balance. This is what a person does when he's healthy. When he's ill, he takes medication, something which ordinarily would harm a person, but in that situation, that's what helps him get back to balance. And then once he's balanced, he has to lead a healthy lifestyle to maintain his physical health. Kach nase gam bamidot. So too we're going to do with regard to a person's traits. Hamashal beze, for example, im reinu adam shekvar niknu lo tchunot nafshiyot nafsho shum tzamtzem me'od al atzmo. If a person already acquired the traits, whether he likes it or not, he's stingy. He's very, very stingy. Shezo mikat mimigot ha-nefesh. That's something that's lacking in his nefesh. V'amaseh hazeh shehu oseh min ha-maasim ha-raim, k'mo shebi'arnu perek zeh. And his actions are also lacking, because he's missing something. Im ratzinu lerapeh et ha-chole hazeh. If we wanted to cure someone who has this problem with his nefesh, lo nitzaveh litneg b'nedivut, we won't tell him, go be extra, go be nadiv. The Rambam had said that nedivut, being a giving person, that's the middle ground. Remember the Rambam said nedivut, a giving person, that's the middle ground. So the Rambam said you can't heal a person who is extra stingy by telling him, go to the middle ground. Be a giving person in moderation. Because that won't heal him from his illness. You tell him, you have to spend your money, be a spendthrift. Go to the opposite extreme. You're always, you don't spend a penny, now you have to waste money. You have to spend, be a spendthrift, pam achar pam, time and again. V'yachzor kama pamim ma'aseh pazanut, and after a few times he spends a lot of money, ad shetasum nafsho tchuna sheviato lechiliyut, until he can remove from himself the trait of being miserly, stingy, ad shekimat tusag lo tchunat hapazanut, till he is almost accustomed to being a guy who spends a lot of money, or he'll be near that, then we'll tell him, stop doing that. You can't be a spendthrift, can't spend all your money. Then we'll tell him, now accustom yourself to being a giving person with moderation. And a person should always be this way, so he shouldn't go do too much or too little. So that's an example that the Rambam gave us of how if a person is at one extreme, we tell him, practice the other extreme. After he's done that for a while and he's almost acquired that, we say, okay, now go to moderation. That's what Gidon said before. So too, if we see a person that he's a spendthrift, he spends all his money. We tell him, now you have to be extra miser. Don't spend on anything. Try to save every penny you got. Go to the opposite extreme. אבל לא נצווה לחזור על מעשה החיליות פעמים רבות, כמו שציוונו במעשה הפרזנות. But in this instance, we don't have to tell him to practice as much as we did in the opposite case. ונקודה זו היא חוק הריפוי וסודו. And this is one of the rules of healing a person. This is one of the secrets of how to be a good doctor, or a spiritual doctor. לפי שחזת אדם מן הפרזנות אל הנדיבות, יותר קל וקרוב משיחזור מן הכיליות אל הנדיבות. The Rambam says it's easier for a person to get back the balance from being a spendthrift than it is from a person who's very, very miserly. I don't understand this, but that's what the Rambam says. I don't know. Let's read the next few lines, and maybe we'll know. I don't know. V'chein chazarat ne'edar hergesh ha'anaot el ha'prishut יותר קל וקרוב מחזרת התאוותן אל הפרישות. I think the Rambam here shows us that it's not from דווקא from that side to the other. He says to take a person from a situation where he didn't want to enjoy anything, he didn't care for anything, and to bring him to a situation where he enjoys but in moderation, that's easier than taking a person who's a tavtan. He's used to indulging in everything. He buys every food he sees, he tries to get every pleasure he can. To bring him to a state of balance is much harder than to bring the other person. So I don't think the Rambam is saying that it's specifically one type of extreme. I think the Rambam is saying that there are things that most people have a natural tendency to go in that direction. Their natural tendency is to save money, at least in the Rambam's time. Today I think things changed. I think today people have it much harder to change from spending too much to spending a proper amount than to going from being extra stingy. I think today nature changed because we have a lot more money. So our nature has changed. But in the Rambam's time, the natural way a person was that he was saving too much. He wasn't a giving enough person. So then the Rambam said that it was much easier to change a person from spending too much than it was to change a person from saving too much. Today I think that changed. with regard to a person who overindulges, so then the Rambam says it's much easier to take a person who doesn't indulge in anything, he's gone to the extreme, and tell him to be balanced than to tell a person who's overindulging to be balanced, because every person has that problem, that his tendency is to go to overindulgence. I think that's what the Rambam means.
He says that with all traits there's a like an extreme and then there's a non-existent part. And he always says, he said that it's usually, in most cases, it's easier to add on, go to the extreme than it is to take it away.
No, I think the Rambam is saying that we're always striving for balance. Balance is always the middle ground between two extremes.
Right.
And there's always a natural tendency to go to one of the extremes. And if a person is at that extreme, we're going to force them to practice for longer the opposite extreme.
It's easier to gain one side than it is to get to the other side.
One of the sides is always easier,
right,
because the normal tendency is always to go one way. And therefore, we're going to tell the person who's overindulging to practice and act with the actions of not enjoying anything at all, going to the opposite extreme. We're going to tell him, you have to do that, you'll tell more than what we would tell a person who is, he doesn't go for any enjoyment, he just sits back and doesn't do anything. So that person, he won't have to practice as much. He doesn't have to practice enjoying as much, because that's natural. Once he starts enjoying, naturally he'll reach the middle ground. The person who's overindulging, he has to practice a lot. We tell him, practice a lot, not enjoying anything, and that'll help you balance the middle ground of enjoying it with moderation. Any question is good.
This approach is always the Rambam.
I don't know to say what's Jewish. Say this is Jewish, that's Jewish. The Rambam is saying something that many have said after him. There are a few concepts here which I think everyone agrees to. Everyone agrees that good traits are acquired with practice. Meaning this is a concept that the Rambam said, and it's not only the Rambam, that by doing it externally, you'll acquire it internally. The Rambam's defining that the good traits are always the middle ground between two extremes. I'm not sure everyone agrees with that definition. I would expect to see it written in other places as other points that the Rambam said are, and I don't see it. So that's why I'm not sure that this point, for example, others agree with as much as the other points that the Rambam made. The point that practice makes perfect and we do acquire things externally, that I think is agreed upon. The point that when you're at one extreme you have to work towards the other extreme, that I also think is agreed upon. This other point, those are the three points I see here in the Rambam. If I break the Rambam down, so that third point that he defines, that the good trait is the middle ground, that I'm not sure that everyone would agree with. I didn't see anyone that says against that, but that I haven't seen quoted. Everything else is not quoted, but is applied by others. There are other schools of thought, which I don't think disagree with the Rambam, but they stress other ways of working on the Midot. That really developed mainly in the last 200 years with the Muslim movement. Do you work on taking away the bad? Do you work on strengthening the good? And even they, I'm not sure how much they disagree with the Rambam, as much as they were looking at the generation and trying to see how are we going to get the generation to move forward. And for their generation and our generation, they applied, like Rav Kook also gave formulas which aren't exactly what it says in the Rambam. Chassidut gives certain formulas. And the idea was to develop the practical strengths. Meaning what the Rambam is saying is an approach that works when a person is in yeshiva, or a person is willing to take a block of time and work on himself. Will the average person do that? And will the average person be truthful enough and consult enough with a rabbi and have a rabbi who knows him well enough and has the time to guide him to do all of this? Everything the Rambam is saying, I think, is pretty much agreed upon, only that practically, the practical applications, now how do you do this? Everyone always thinks they're balanced. Sometimes a person admits that he has a little bit of faults. But generally, people think everyone around them is extreme and they're balanced. Usually, every person has a few points that he's really bad on, that he recognizes that he's bad on. But that's where we'll find that many of the Musar books will write other things. I don't think that they're disagreeing with the Rambam as much as that the Rambam, what the Rambam's telling us is ideal, but it doesn't get down to the practical applications. So the Rambam told us practice. The Rambam said you shouldn't be overspending and you shouldn't be overstingy. How do you define what's overspending and what's overstingy? Is giving every poor person 10 shekel overspending or overstingy?
I think he would say that spectrum would be different from every person, right? My spectrum is over here, your spectrum is over here. No?
I think the formula is the same. Could be depending on how much money you have, so that the exact, when it comes down to bottom line, which money you'll give and when, there it'll be different for each person. But I think that one of the points that the Rambam developed over here is that there's a middle ground that everyone's expected to go to. And on that point also, is the middle ground the same for everyone? The Rambam has made it that we all have to try and be, there is one thing as far as midot go that we all have to aspire to. I don't know if everyone agrees on that. There were Musar movements that tried to move in the direction of taking the traits you have and using them for the positive. But that's also a way of moderating them to an extent. You don't apply, if you're a person that gets very angry, you don't apply that where it's improper. And the way to do that is to apply it only where it is proper. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard for me to say. Maybe someone else could give you a better answer. I think the question is fair. I don't know. It's okay. ונחייב את רך הלבב לנהוג בחירוף נפש יותר ממה שנצווה את המחרף נפשו לנהוג במורך. We'll tell the person that's weak-hearted, we'll tell him he has to practice more being bold and brave than we would someone who's risking his life too much. We're going to tell him you have to practice to be more soft-hearted, but it doesn't take as much practice because it's easier to find the middle ground from there. ונרגיל את השפל בהתהדרות יותר ממה שנרגיל את המתהדר בשפלות. And we'll tell a person that he treats himself as nothing, that he has to practice more accepting a certain hadar. I don't know, how do they translate that?
Honor.
I don't know, I don't like the word honor, because then... the ignoble to display ostentation more frequently than the ostentatious must practice innobility. That's what the Rambam says. Huh?
The translation doesn't help.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why the Rambam says that. I don't understand how the Rambam means by that one. וזהו חוק רפואת המידות זוכר. This is the rule of how to heal a person's traits. Remember it, says the Rambam. This is interesting. The Rambam in his Perusha Mishnah does this a few times. He says, I'm telling you something now, remember it. This is an important point. That's a style that he used in the Mishnah, in his explanation on the Mishnah. He has in Kiddushin, he has in one place something that he calls Nekuda Nifla'a, an amazing point I'm going to tell you now. And it became famous whenever people are learning in Kachim, so there's the Rambam's famous Nekuda Nifla'a, his amazing point. That's how he introduced it. So over here also he tells us, remember this point. This is the rule of how to heal your traits. ובגלל עניין זה, לא היו החסידים מעמידים תכונות נפשם תכונות המוצאות בשווה. Because of this, because a person has a tendency to go to one side, the חסידים wouldn't leave their traits exactly in the middle. אלא היו נוטים נטייה מעטה כלפי היתור או החיסור דר סייג. They would always tilt a little bit either to excess or to lacking, in order to protect themselves. כלומר, שהם נותנים דרך משל מן הפרישות כלפי היעדר הרגשה בהנאות מעט. They tilt themselves, for example, from in the direction of not feeling, meaning not wanting to indulge themselves, a little bit from the middle to the side of not indulgence at all, to that side of the extreme. Umina omitz klapei chiruf hanefesh mat, and they'd be a little bit on the side of the extreme of trying to be brave. Umina artzinut klapei hitadrut mat. Again, I don't know what he means on this one.
I understand this. He says all things are a spectrum of either an extreme or like desire and then no desire.
Yeah, and he's saying that a chas, ideally you should be in the middle, and a chas, it always takes certain traits and goes a little bit off from the middle to protect himself. He goes a little bit further from, he knows that he has a tendency to be extra proud, so he'll be a drop extra modest beyond the middle ground. That's a chas. Ume'anava klapei shaflut ha-ruach mat, and anava modesty, true modesty, is the middle ground. But they'll go off from the middle ground, a drop, to be in the direction of being totally, I'm nothing. וכן בכל השאר, so too in all other traits, ועניין זה הוא הרמוז באומרם, לפנים משורת הדין. And that's what our sages alluded to, the concept of לפנים משורת הדין, to do beyond the call of duty. The call of duty is find the middle ground. But to go a drop beyond that, that's to be a chassid.
What's deviating slightly from restraint to a lack of desire?
Meaning, the Rambam has said that restraint, that's the middle ground. A person who has no desire whatsoever, that's a lazy person, he doesn't do anything, he's got something wrong with him. A person should want to get married. A person should want to make money. He should want to have a house. He should want to have parnasa. There are things that the normal person, the balanced person, does want things, but with moderation. So he says, the extreme is total lack of want. So chassid says, there's the middle ground, where I want things with mediocrity, and then I'm going to go a drop to the side where I don't want anything at all, just a drop from the middle ground, because I know that most people go in excess, but they want everything. So chassid goes a drop off from the middle ground.
I have two questions. First question is, by the way the Rambam writes here, it sounds like he has like a complete list of human traits. Or like, do you think he had such a list?
It seems he enumerated many before. And then he ended after he enumerated many, v'chen ha'shal, and so to the rest. So I don't know.
He's working off a list, right?
He gave us a list. Everything he said until now is from a list that he said in the beginning of the chapter. So that's true. He is working off of that list. Whether he had a list beyond that, I don't know. But everything he enumerated here is working off of the list of traits that he gives in the beginning of the chapter, but he says that's not a complete list. After he enumerates some 12 or, I don't know, a lot of traits, then he says, and so too the rest of the traits. So he says he's not given us a complete list. Whether he had one or not, I don't know. Yeah. Number two? So, I think that one of the things the Rambam did in the first three chapters was develop how we have to really break down what are called traits. Ambition, I think, is an outgrowth of other traits. Meaning, ambition stems from desire. It could be the desire to accomplish. It could be the desire to get pride. It could be the desire to help people. And that's what the Rambam said, that we have to break it down to the base elements of traits. The Rambam began by breaking down the base elements of the nefesh, and then he said from which parts of the nefesh our traits come, the traits that are relevant to how we are as human beings. And then the Rambam developed the breakdown of the traits. And I think that ambition, that's broken down into desire, and also... the Rambam called it the trait, he said hit orirut, of arousal, to be aroused to do, to act.
It doesn't mean awakenedness?
We use it also as to be awake, but I think the Rambam meant it as to be aroused. Aroused to perform, aroused to do. And I think that ambition has to be broken down to both of those. Now, I think that a person with moderation will have the proper amount of ambition. It also depends what a person has ambition for. If the ambition stems around his getting wealth or pride, so then that's another trait that's built into the ambition. If the ambition is to find the cure for cancer, so then it's part of the trait of helping other people. And even there, if it's in excess, it could kill him. It's interesting. I'm very often guessed by someone who has Reader's Digest in the bathroom. So I get to read Reader's Digest every so often. And it's very interesting that many of the stories that they have about people who accomplished tremendous things, many of those stories, they end the story and they say, this person accomplished X, Y, and Z, and they even had to pay the price. This didn't come for free. It cost them their marriage. It's very interesting. I noticed that it happens like very often that this is one of the things people pay for ambition. So now you ask yourself, well, was it worth it? And even though all of these people's accomplishments are impressive, I don't know. Marriage, right. Marriage is also a very basic accomplishment. And sometimes a person has to know, maybe he shouldn't have taken on that fight. Maybe he shouldn't have accomplished that. Maybe that accomplishment came at a price which wasn't legitimate. And that's why even in ambition, I think there is a certain balance. And when we trace back the source of where the ambition comes from, very often we'll be able to tell whether it was good ambition or bad ambition. To say that ambition is a positive, I'm not sure it's a positive. Hitler was also ambitious. Seriously, I'm not joking. Yeah, so ambition, I don't think you could say ambition is the positive, is the balance. I think we have to break down ambition beyond that and then see where the sources are. And almost always, when we see that in Tanakh, that people made a mistake, we'll see that Chazal broke down where that mistake came from. And when they break it down, so Chazal don't tell us as clearly as the Rambam does. Chazal don't enumerate this was that lacking or that lacking. But Chazal say it in their way. Chazal will tell us that before Shaul sinned with the Chet of Agag, so he was extra pious. He said, I can't harm all these poor innocent people from Amalek. And the heavenly voice came out and said, Al tei tzadik al ben. Don't be such a big tzaddik. What's the Medrash telling us? And then when that same king who was so pious, and I don't mean to mock him, God forbid, Shaul was much greater than I can even fathom. But still, our sages showed us to compare that when it came to the whole city of Novir HaKohanim, he wiped out the whole city, men, women, and children, when they were not at fault. The same person, when he felt that his kingdom was threatened, killed them all out, and then a heavenly voice came out and said, Val tirshah obe, don't be extra wicked. The pasuk's telling him a balance. And the pasuk, our sages are telling him that he was off balance. Shlomo HaMelech said, the Torah says I shouldn't marry too many women. But I'm very, very smart. The Torah says that if a person marries too many women, they'll cause him to err. Well, God blessed me with extra wisdom. I could marry many women and I won't err. Says the Torah, no, he did err. He didn't, says Shlomo HaMelech also said, I shouldn't have been so smart. What are they telling us when they're saying I shouldn't have been so much this and so much that? I think that we could understand it very easily, that they're telling us the root of the error was a certain trait that was in excess. And it does boil back to this breakdown of the Rambam. But our sages didn't word it exactly like this. I think so. Yeah.
It's a little bit contradictory to say, don't be such a big tzaddik.
So that, obviously, we have to understand the pasuk, and we have to understand the Gemara.
It's a halakha to wipe out Amalek. I mean,
right.
To be a tzaddik, you have to wipe out Amalek. What's
right.
The point? Don't have too much mercy.
So you're saying, why does the pasuk call it tzaddik?
Where is their mercy? I mean,
okay, so that we have to go into the term tzedek and rachamim and chemla, that it says that Shaul was chomel. Mitzvah next semester, we're going to get the story of Shaul. So then that's the time to deal with it. Right now, that was just an example. But you're right, the question, of course, right, why is that called being a tzaddik? Obviously, if Hashem said so, that's not called being a tzaddik. So why is that the heavenly voice? Okay. So that we have to deal with. That's true.
Is there another risk if somebody has bad parents and doesn't want any more anything in his life? He starts to want a few things. But if you read this, it looks like, okay, the middle path. So somebody who wants only a few things in his life starts to think the middle path is for me far beyond what I'm reaching.
Yeah. So that's why I told him that I think that the difficulty with applying this Rambam is that we don't have definitions here. It's how do you define it? Do you look around and see everyone and say, well, everyone else has two cars, everyone else has a home, everyone else is going on vacation. You live in a certain community and you feel, I'm pretty middle. Yeah, it's very hard. That's why the Gra says in Mishle that the job of the Navi used to be people's personal guidance counselor. People wanted to know what's the proper way for me to serve Hashem, and every person has different strengths and weaknesses. So the Navi's job, says the Gra, was that people would come to him and consult with him. What's fit for me? And the Navi could tell a person, you, according to your traits, should serve Hashem with these strengths. These are the things you have to work on. This is how you should serve Hashem. And we lost that. After we don't have Navim, so a person should ideally try to have a Rebbe who he can consult with. And I always tell people, don't look for someone who's top of the line. You're going to say, my Rebbe is Rav Eliashiv. Well, Rav Eliashiv won't have time to answer you on all these points. That's where a person should try to find someone who he can connect with, who he feels close with, and try and think it through with them. It's very hard for a person who's in it to find the middle ground. That's why I like the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim, because he gives a lot of practical examples. And the examples that he gives transcend time. They're examples that are relevant for every generation. He gives examples that are just examples that are relevant to all of mankind. And they deal with our traits and our tendencies. But even there, you'll find examples pertaining to certain traits, but you won't find examples that pertain to other things, like spending money. But I think that's a very good start. And very often, once a person gets on track, it keeps them on track. You get on a certain track of balance, then it helps balance other things. And another thing that helps practically is to be with people who have gone on track. I found that personally. I didn't see it written anywhere, but I found that the things that affected me most were the people I was around. It is written, that's the halacha, the Rambam writes it, that the person is going to be very affected by his surroundings. But I find that it's even the close circle of friends, and that's what we see in Mishlei time and again. But Shlomo HaMelech warns us, be careful who your friends are. Be careful who your neighbors are. I sometimes took someone as a chavrusa, not because I thought I'd gain from the learning with them, but I felt the person had certain traits that I had to acquire. And if I would learn with them, then I felt it would rub off on me. The easiest way that I found to acquire certain traits is by seeing someone who has those traits. When you see it in action, so then it's easy to emulate it. When you read about it, so then it's very hard to try in our own mind to think how to apply it even. The Rambam says, take it, apply it, act as though you have the trait. But how do you know how a person who has the trait acts? So that's where I find that the best practical solution that I found for myself is to be with people I feel have certain traits. So when I'm trying to work on a certain trait, I usually try to find the chavrusa that has those traits. I could tell you that there are many traits that you could find in different edot. There's a type of gentleness that you could find by Teimanim and by Sfardim. It's very hard to find by Ashkenaz. And I don't know the guys in the Machon, but look around you. I'm sure you'll see it.
They also and, have coarseness that you couldn't find in Ashkenaz.
Okay, right. If you have to work on that, so there's everything in each crowd, right? There's a certain type of what's called yekiness, to be on time, that certain people have. If a person knows he has to work on that, should try to find people who could help him on that?
Like a Rasha who has no good traits. No one wants to spend time with him, so he'll never get better.
He'll worry about it when he gets there. I wouldn't worry about that. Okay? Yeah?